faces, worn out places, worn out faces, bright and early for the daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. Their tears are filling up their glasses, no expression, no expression. Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad, the dreams in which I'm dying are the best I ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad world.
All right, sorry I had to wait a minute and a half to get to the punchline of that song. It is Thursday, April 18th, 2024. This is the Fakeologist Show, and normally it's Frank the Salt Guy, but today we were going to try and do a co-hosted effort with Tim Osmond and talk about the fakery around Mad Mike Hughes, because that hit the media and Tim promoted it, so I wanted to just challenge him on that because I think it's a total load of bullocks. And today we're also joined by the great Lynn Ertel, who got her microphone fixed and is not feeling petulant today, so she's gonna chime in as well. And the only thing we're missing is Tim Osmond right now, so I did send him another email. Hopefully he'll join us, otherwise we'll carry on with our show and we'll just keep going. So welcome, Frank.
Hi everybody. Thanks, Tim. Hi,
Lee. By the way, that's the best version of Mad World a cappella I've ever heard. These guys are unbelievable. It's called The Inversions. Yeah, hey, isn't that cool? The Inversions. We talk about inversion all the time here. And
I don't think it's an accident.
Yes, it's by the grace of God that we're here, I think, and everything that happens, I think, Frank, if that's your implication there.
No, I think they call themselves inversions for the same reasons that you've stated.
Okay, very good. Very good. I'm wise beyond my own brain. And we also have Lynn Ertel here. Lynn, hello.
Hey, good to see everybody or hear everybody.
Lynn, you got some feedback on your outburst at the beginning of last show, your technical outburst, but you really sound much better now that your microphone is hooked up. So we're grateful.
Yeah, I got the snowball technology here, and hopefully that will be robust.
Oh, it's awesome, actually. It's really awesome.
What is snowball technology? Is that a microphone, is it?
Yeah, it's a 10-year-old microphone I have.
It's probably the most popular podcasting microphone. It used to be around $50. It's probably about $5,000 now with inflation, but right. it was a pretty good deal, and a lot of people use them. And listen, anything is better than a computer built-in microphone, so I'm grateful anyone that just makes a small purchase to speak into a proper mic. Now, I lowered my mic volume because I was getting complaints that I was overpowering other guests. And of course, my on-the-fly leveling software is not set up because I'm too dumb to figure out how to do it, or I don't have time, or it's too impossible. Lynn loves to rail against software. This software, to try and set that up without a manual is damn near impossible. So I've toned myself down, so hopefully that will sound better on the output for all the listenership. And someone also said the audio is way too low compared to other podcasts, but I listen to minutes or so of all my shows, and I don't really have to turn myself up all that much compared to other shows. So I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you there. Do you guys have problems with the volume if you ever listen to these shows?
Not really. It's pretty good. Your sound quality is generally pretty good. Now the audio chats.
Well, yeah.
Different. Yeah, they're kind of rough sometimes.
Well, yeah. You can't. Everyone is just shouting into their mics, and I'm on my usually in my car. But Frank, are you have any issues with the sound? Frank?
Finding it interesting that I haven't had any trouble with my ISP.
No, I'm just talking about listening to the audio quality of our shows. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so what happened then is I'm being cut off regularly at the moment from the my ISP is playing up.
Oh, okay. Well, what's new about that? You seem to
have except it only happens when I talk on this show. It's very interesting.
Oh, okay. Maybe there's
who is your internet?
And just because I'm paranoid, it doesn't mean that people are not out to get me, is all I can say.
Mm-hmm, that's true. Lynn, he's over in Australia on the south.
Like a local carrier?
Yeah, yes, I'm on a local carrier.
But you use mobile data. You're on...
No, I don't. I'm not on this occasion. I should try it.
Oh, you're not on this occasion. I thought you used a mobile hotspot for all your connectivity needs at the salt mine.
I'm not at the salt mine. I'm in my company office.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Okay. Well... All right, so let me check my email box, but the subject of today... Oh, well, hold on a sec. I got an email back. Hey, I'm on the way to the office, just leaving the post office. I'll be here in 10 minutes. Okay, so he's on the way back. He probably just went to pick up his mail instead of tuning into the most important show in the universe. Okay, I get it.
Okay, set the scene, Tim.
Okay, well, apparently there was a show... Or there's a guy named Mad Mike Hughes. Now, I'm not a big follower of the Flat Earth movement, first of all. It's not that interesting to me. But apparently, there's been lots of activity. I think Lynn is more up to date. Actually, let me let Lynn do it. Lynn is way better at explaining stuff like this. Lynn, you go ahead.
Well, I posted, I've screen shared a post I put in the forum.
Yeah, here we go. I'll put it on the screen here.
Right. On the science and the social engineering of flat earth. And I've opened that up with a link to an article in the Washington Times that quotes NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers just before he was canceled off of the ESPN Pat McAfee show for making some remarks about conspiracy theory. And I think he went after Jimmy Kimmel. Tried to link Jimmy Kimmel to Jeffrey Epstein. I don't know if there was any basis for that. But Aaron Rodgers, of course, is well known among people who are not into the NFL. He's known to people who study the NFL as, superstar quarterback, yeah. Formerly with the Green Bay Packers, now with the Jets, I guess, right?
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, and but he refused to take the vax. Initially, he said something like, "Well, he said something like he was already immunized against the COVID." Mm. And what he meant by that was that his medical advisors. Now, understand, this guy is like a multi-million-dollar quarterback. His throwing arm is probably insured by Lloyd's of London. I'll bet he's got
which is now AIG, of course.
And he's probably affords to, I mean, it's a business expense for him to hire a whole slew of orthopedic surgeons, massage therapists. He's a quarterback. So he's getting plenty of medical advice. And it's pretty clear that his medical advisors told him, hey, if you think you already had this thing, or one way or another, they counseled him to avoid the shot. And the NFL came down on him for it. At first, he was accused of lying by claiming that he was already immune because he was kind of walking. I think he was kind of trying to avoid a confrontation over it. I really do. But then he said, I already had this flu or this COVID, whatever it is, and there's no point in my taking this shot. And like I say, he was he actually excluded from playing in some games? I think he was. They gave him a real hard time over it. Now, I know, Jake Gibson doesn't have a high opinion of Aaron Rodgers, thinks that Aaron Rodgers has basically been staged as a superstar. I think Jake's argument is that he's only won a single Super Bowl and that There are other quarterbacks that are better than him, but you can bring Jake on to talk about what I consider the esoteric details of NFL football. Because to me, what makes Aaron Rodgers important is an experience I had about 6 months to a year ago. On Tuesdays, I go over to a Buffalo Wild Wings because I have a deal where you get like twice as many wings for half the price. And, you know, I have a hard cider and eat my wings. And they always have all these giant screens all over the place with, you know, basketball games and hockey games. And they've always got ESPN on. And on this occasion, I was watching this. The Pat McAfee show had Aaron Rodgers on there. This is before they fired him, got rid of him. And Rodgers was making his statements. And I was talking to somebody next to me at the bar saying, oh, wow, there's Aaron Rodgers. I said, I love him. I said, I like him just like I like Novak Djokovic or Kyrie Irving because they refuse to take the shot. And about four or five seats down from me, this guy who was sitting there really got hysterical. He got on his smart device and was yelling at, I guess, his wife or somebody about how, oh, that idiot Aaron Rodgers is on ESPN. That crazy anti-vaxxer Aaron Rodgers is on ESPN. And this guy was shouting so loud. It was pretty clear.
Yeah. Can you accelerate to the point a little faster? Because we got Tim Osmond and his channel just joined in.
Well, to me, that makes Aaron Rodgers a property. You know? The fact that he evoked such a panic in somebody else because he was on this. And of course, as I say, Rodgers had talked about the similarity, predictive programming. He'd raised a number of issues. And then they canceled him. They kicked him off the Pat McAfee show, I guess, for spouting conspiracy theory. So that's why I've quoted him here. Because I still think no matter who or what Aaron Rodgers is, this statement is absolutely true. And I will quote it. If science can't be questioned, it's not science anymore. It's propaganda. And that's the truth. Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the background. And then from there, I go on to explain what scientific method is, which has its roots among the ancient Greeks. I wonder why this won't let me scroll.
Yeah, you are going to get to the Mad Mike Hughes part of the story, right?
Right, because Flat Earth is essentially an effort to look for an alternate cosmology.
Right.
And it's an understandable reaction to the discovery that NASA is a hoax, that everything NASA does is a hoax. The ISS is a hoax. Apollo is a hoax. People discovered this, and they're kind of, I imagine people who discovered for the first time are pretty shocked. And so it's understandable that they would start looking around and saying, well, what else are they lying to us about?
Yeah.
And so that's how they would stumble in. And I really think that as a movement, as a social media movement, Flat Earth was set up to capture and track and monitor and honeypot and lure in these people to create a graduated animal farm where these people could be watched and manipulated. Now, I think people noticed that, right? Because what it was doing was, for one thing, it wasn't really addressing the question of what constitutes scientific method or an alternate cosmology. And I have listed links there to Simon Schacht's Tychos model, which is an extension of Tycho Brahe's original geocentric model, not heliocentric, with some modifications, as an example of what constitutes a scientific model for an alternate cosmology. That is serious scientific study. And that's worth studying from the standpoint of mathematics and science. But getting together with Patty Steer and Mark Sargent and Eric Dubay, nobody gets along with him, and some of the others in there, I could see right away they didn't give a damn about science, especially the biblical flat earthers. All they cared about was ideology, really. They're not interested in testing and formulating falsifiable hypotheses, testing those hypotheses. I list all the steps involved in scientific method there, and I discuss the development of Koch's postulates, which were used to identify infectious bacteria, purportedly based on scientific method. And that's a whole separate discussion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, flat Earth became a movement.
Yeah.
But what I want to distinguish here, it's very important, is the difference between alternate cosmological models, which is a legitimate scientific question, as opposed to flat Earth as a cult and a movement to be manipulated. Because that's what I think Mike Hughes and the rest of them were a part of. Now, why? I know you were probably bored to death by flat Earth. You probably didn't pay it any mind at all.
No, I paid attention to it because it came on Fast and Furious. But okay, so let's just make sure we say hi to Tim Oz and make sure his mic is working. So Tim, are you all there?
Hey, what's up? Am I loud and clear?
Loud and clear. We are reading you. Say hi to Lynn Ertel and Frank the Salt Guy. This is Frank's regular time slot.
Oh,
so
cool.
he is a fervent flat Earth believer. And
completely incorrect.
I am
an engineer, and for all practical purposes, I assume the Earth is both flat and stationary. And I say to everybody listening that everybody listening also assumes for all practical purposes that the Earth is flat and stationary. And by flat, I just mean that the oceans are flat.
Okay, I stand corrected. Okay, so today, Frank, are you familiar with the Mad Mike Hughes fatal rocket launch?
I am. Not super familiar, but I remember all the stuff about Mad Mike Hughes, and because I am,
all right,
I've been around for a long time and watching it all happen. I've never understood the connection between Mad Mike Hughes and Flat Earth, other than he's a rocketeer.
Well, we're going to have to let Tim Osman do the intro, because the subject of tonight's discussion, debate, or whatever you want to call it, is I just question this whole Mad Mike Hughes event. I think it looked as real as Super Dave Osborne from the Bizarre Comedy Show, but Tim Osman has some closer connections that he's going to explain to us to say why he says it is a real event. So take it away, Tim.
Okay, a lot of people don't have the background on this to properly ascertain what's going on, because they'll say, he died because of flat Earth. He was trying to prove it. Well, yeah. he emphatically said he wasn't trying to prove it with a 5,000-foot leap. That was going to have to take a space jump, but he was going to have to build up time for that. So it was never that. The media always got it wrong. But what's more, he didn't just show up to talk about conspiracies and flat Earth. He was doing daredevil stunts in public for 20 plus years before that. And then before that, he was in motorcycle racing. So there's like this idea that he just showed up for this. No, he could have died at any of these previous stunts. And then what's more, we did finance his rocket launch in 2018. Infinite Plane Society did. We paid for research flat Earth to be put on his rocket. But he wasn't really like a Bible flat earther. He was kind of a geostationary, if anything. But anyway,
okay.
We did pay for the first rocket launch. Infinite Plane Society raised the money. And a couple of points here. One, the rest of the flat earth community, the conference earthers, the conference types, the big channels, none of them talked to him. They didn't want anything to do with him because he was stealing their spotlight, and that's all they were there for. But what's more, he survived the rocket launch. So if the whole thing was, he's going to die and make us look bad, or he's going to make us look crazy, all he did was he just drew a lot of attention to it, but he didn't die in 2018. And there's a documentary about that particular launch. So he set some records, kind of an Evel Knievel-like character. But my point is, from the beginning, you know, being skeptics, people thought, okay, Tim is running an op with this guy to make us all look crazy.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of been the story. So just for people who don't know, not only did I pay for this first rocket, or did we, but subsequently we helped him get into a conference because they didn't want him there. We had to basically just show up with the rocket, and kind of implied we were going to call the news media if they didn't let him in and expose this thing as some kind of a controlled op. And then after this, I was his biographer. which meant I goaded it. I got him to write a biography, and that's what they were quoting in the New Yorker. So when you make your claim here as to whether this was a hoax or not, you can't rule me out. I am a participant. The only question is, was I tricked or am I an operative? So we can continue from there. I have a list of points here, but my background there is just simply that I was involved.
Isn't there a third alternative that you just supported the guy because you thought what he was doing was interesting? I don't understand why it means you're an operative or you were tricked.
They're suggesting that he faked his death on the 2020 launch, which I didn't finance. That was financed by the Science Channel, just to be clear. But they're asserting, the assertion is that it was a faked death in 2020.
Yes.
And if it was faked, then it doesn't answer it implicates me because it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for me. And on this launch, there was something that no one had actually heard about, which is, because it's never went public, leading up to the Science Channel rocket launch, Mike was in jail in Rancho Cucamonga for, and you can look at this stuff, this is all a matter of public record, 19 charges of extortion, paper terrorism. In fact, I heard you say Mark Sargent's name a minute ago. Mike had made this kind of common law lawsuit claim on Mark Sargent. Mark Sargent called the feds. The feds arrested Mike. He gets charged with all kinds of stuff. So he wasn't even going to make it to that launch if it wasn't for me going through a lot of trouble, jumping a lot of hurdles to get the bail money, which I have receipts for. I owe people. I owe a lot of money.
I'm lost in it. Which launch are we talking about? The one that he died at or the one that you've sponsored?
The one that he died at is the one they're saying is that he somehow...
participated in the sense that you organized bail for him to get to the launch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, the thing is, the Science Channel didn't know he was in jail. They would have terminated the contract. So it was a kind of... We kept it hushed. And now I'm in the hole I owe somebody a lot of money, tens of thousands of dollars. But and it's between me and his business partner. And so, like, every claim that I'm stating here, if it's a hoax, then it makes me a liar. Like, when I say his business partner was in tears on the phone describing to me how he had to scrape parts out of the crushed rocket. Now, am I lying? Or did that conversation happen? If you go with the hoax premise, then I'm lying. You cannot take me out of this. And I'm not offended, but you just have to realize that, yes, I'm actually integrated into the story.
Okay, but I'm going to suggest to you that you could have had that conversation and not be a liar, but the thing could still be a hoax.
That's right. Frank, can you get on the mic a little better?
Sorry, let me repeat that then.
Oh, better. Oh, yeah.
So bad. I'm just going to say simply that another alternative is that you did have the conversation, that you did all the things that you said, but it could still be a hoax.
Okay, here's another thing. When we're talking about this event, this was not a closed movie set. And this was after there were multiple attempts to launch this thing. It's not an easy task. And if you've watched the documentary, you would see how it works. You know, this was done
Wait. The documentary is called Rocket Man, I think you said.
Yeah. In fact, you should play the trailer for people who don't know what it's about.
I have to admit, I don't know really much about the story. I was just looking at this video here on the screen and it looked like Super Dave Osborne dropping.
Okay. Look, to be fair, be 100% fair. Anybody making their judgment based on that one clip, if you're an auto hoaxer and you're just automatically trusting or distrusting media, I can understand when you'd say it looks fake.
Absolutely.
But how do you qualify that? And then do you know the context in which it took place? Because there are people who say pandas look fake. Look at that panda. Pandas are fake. And it's like, have you talked to the zookeeper?
Koalas.
I'm not into koalas and that. I'm just saying, looking at this video, it looked fake to me. So now
That's my point. If you look at this video, but if you don't look at it in broader context, including the background story, then I don't think you have enough. You don't have enough of a basis to judge it. So your non-belief isn't as it's a what I'd call. And this is why I'm glad we're doing.
Unless
this.
The guy was suicidal, to go up in a rocket that's steam powered and it's a recipe for death. So the guy must have been suicidal. Was he suicidal?
Did you hear the first phone call with him when he called into the Infinite Plane Society?
I haven't heard anything.
Okay, in 2018, the New Yorker did a story called Looking for Life on Flat Earth. You can look it up. And it mentions the Infinite Plane Society taking a call from Mad Mike Hughes because they're doing a background to him successfully doing his launch. Yeah. And he said to me on the phone, this thing will kill me. If anything goes wrong, I have a 30% chance of survival. He constantly made the point here that he's a daredevil and that he's taking extreme risks. And on this launch, people are asking, why didn't you have remote activated parachutes since he didn't deploy his? And Waldis, the rocket scientist there said he refused. He refused remote operated backup chutes because, quote, that would take the daredevil out of it. So okay.
Can I make a comment here?
Is this the video, by the way?
That to me, as I hear that story, Tim, what I
think get more is on the that, mic. Frank.
Okay, when I hear that story that you've just told, Tim Osman, the the refusal of the remote control parachutes and the idea that it makes it less of a risk. That to me sounds like he's setting up a fake event.
No, this is that. That's the thing, though. He did that in 2014. He did that in his previous launches before the flat Earth thing. He did a public limousine jump, set a world record back in 2002. So what I'm saying is, no, he has had a 30-year pattern of risking his neck. Mm-hmm. 30 years. He made fun of Evan Braun, who did his steam power jump and had done it with a dummy and tested it and had remote parachutes. He didn't consider that guy a daredevil. So no, he made a big point about doing this as a daredevil, putting his life on the line and making everybody know just how likely it was that he would die.
Is this the guy, thing you're talking about? Rocket Man Mike Hughes, who he really
no,
was?
It's an no? Amazon documentary. It's on Amazon.com. There's a 90-second trailer.
Oh, okay, so this is something else. Okay.
Yeah, it went extremely viral. But again, this is a lifelong daredevil who wasn't able to raise money for his previous launches, 2014 and 2015. He tried. So then, you know what happened is he sees the Research Flat Earth billboard and he called into the live show because he had just started listening to Eric Dubé. And he says, I have an idea to draw attention to your Research Flat Earth. I'm like, what is it? He said, I'm a daredevil. I have a steam-powered rocket. You can write it on the side. So he told me, he pitched the idea to me on the phone, and then we agreed to finance it. Anyway, go play the.
Okay.
A California man is getting ready to launch himself into the air in a homemade rocket to prove that the Earth is flat.
My favorite barbecued moron.
A lot of people got the idea that he's just some kind of a nut. He might just be crazy.
I believe in the geocentric flat Earth model.
This is America. We can believe whatever we want.
People have lost faith in experts.
Scientific facts are completely debatable.
The Earth isn't flat.
I'm not going to take anyone else's word for it. I'm going to build my own rocket right here, and I'm going to see with my own eyes what shape this world we live on.
Look, any idiot can sit in their bedroom uploading conspiracy theories to YouTube, but it takes a special idiot to launch himself into space for the cause.
What do I do if it goes south? Did you leave a letter or something? What do you want me to do?
It's a bomb. It could spring a leak and it'll explode so fast, it'll tear you apart.
I want to live through this thing, okay? Yeah. I want to see my cats grow up and, you know, see their grandkids and stuff like that.
Okay, that's weird.
You know, these things are not easy to do.
Let's go! Let's go!
Gonna have to do some re-engineering.
Oh my God!
To do something like this, it takes everything, and it will take everything from you.
Let's go, boy!
Mike, hang in there, buddy.
Okay, wow. Did it sell a lot of tickets?
That's. I'm sure it sold. The documentary on Amazon's doing very well. It told his story for sure. And after this, he went on like a 2-year tour. He was doing documentaries, media. He was on Fox News and he called Buzz Aldrin a Freemason. So why would an operative trying to destroy this thing go on to Fox and say something like that? He said, Buzz Aldrin, the Freemason, they cut him off. My point is, he was not a controlled opposition type. The Flat Earth Conference didn't want him around. And that's because he wasn't a Bible earther. And a lot of them thought he was just grifting. They said he couldn't make money for his rocket, so he got the flat earthers to pay for it. And I'm like, what difference does it make? This is a billboard meant to get attention. And if you looked at the documentary, did you see how much media attention that this drove to the topic? That was
but the net effect of this outcome is that flat Earth and the people that have the view the world is flat are hugely discredited as lunatics.
Yes, I would say so too.
Spot on.
They were already discredited as lunatics.
But nonetheless, and this
no, actually, hold on, hold on. Wait. Let me add something to this. Okay, yep. The Bible earthers, we were calling them out as lunatics. We said nobody doing any kind of exploration is lunacy. Mad Mike's mission here was to bring the question to a close, to answer it. He called me in 2017 and said, I will answer the question. So if anybody was trying to bring more objectivity and information, it was him. Nobody else was making any effort in that regard. And that's
but,
why they...
But how does a rocket flight give you the evidence that you need?
Well, that's the question that you would know if you had watched the documentary, because the media said you can't go high enough on a rocket. And this is the point. It wasn't meant to. It was a billboard on a rocket meant to spark conversation everywhere to drive enough attention to where he could finance his rocket to space. Now, whether that's achievable, it's debatable. But don't you see the value of this, though? This was a protracted PR stunt meant to make the issue impossibly large, so they couldn't help but have to address it. So this was, in my view, meant to explode the meme research flat earth and the topic, which
and that's
did.
Why you sponsored it. That was your
yes, and it was mission accomplished. Okay. And they didn't, and so if this was a controlled op, they failed, because he succeeded in the launch in 2018, and the subsequent launch was not ours. That was the Science Channel. That was a different program.
Well, so that's the saying, one, but you did. I mean, you're involved in this second thing because you're the one that paid for the money to get him out of jail, etc.
But that was secret. Nobody knew about it. I haven't even talked about it publicly. And we kept it a secret because it could have terminated the launch. They wouldn't have done it.
But okay, but nonetheless,
it wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have been able to have, quote, fake died if I didn't pay all that money to bail him out. And if I'm not part of the PSYOP entertainment complex, then how am I going to get reimbursed? You know, like, I went into the hole for this financially because I believed in the project.
But there's no, I've got no reason to accuse you of anything.
Yeah, we're not accusing you.
I'm just telling
you from my, it's giving you my perspective. From my perspective, what I observe is the fruit of this whole thing is that there is a strong connection between having the view that the Earth is flat, even though for all practical purposes, everyone assumes it's flat and everyone assumes it's unmoving. Even though that is a fact, this particular idea has now been placed into the land of lunacy.
Yes.
Okay, let me bring this up, because before the launch even started, the reason why the general flat earth consensus was let's not get behind him is they said, look, Tim just partnered up with a guy who said he has a 30% chance of, they 70% chance of dying. They didn't want him to die on the move. And I was like, look, he's taking the risk. We're doing this to blow up the issue. It's his risk. He's a daredevil. So okay, I signed so on. I knew this was a potential PR flop, but it wasn't for at least 3 years.
Okay, so
you're saying the 2018 launch wasn't the flop, but you're saying the 2020 was?
The 2020 was the one where he didn't survive. And after that, then the Daily Beast comes out. Well, if we're doing this as a PR campaign, it played into the other side's hands. But not really, though, because here's the thing. This is where they got it wrong, and I don't think – and you'll understand after I explain this. They say – the flat earth killed him. No, he was going to probably die in a rocket crash later anyway. We paid for his rocket. So you can't say misinformation did it. That's a misrepresentation of the facts. And I've called up Kelly Weil on this, the author from the Daily Beast. She wrote a book called Off the Edge. And she said, I was friends with Mad Mike. And when he died, I realized misinformation has consequences. It's like, you know, this guy is doing a high risk lifestyle as a career. It has nothing to do with what was in his head.
There's nothing to do with misinformation about going in a rocket where you think you've got a 60% chance of dying.
No more than there is about skydiving. You don't say skydivers, you know, skydivers die all the time. You know, you have tragic accidents.
A steam rocket launch has got to be 1,000 times more dangerous than skydiving. It's crazy. It's
Well, and also he's aiming for Guinness Book records. And so nobody's done this before. He set a record in 2018 by shooting up, you know, 1,500 feet or 1,800 feet rather. And then on this last one, he said, I want to go a mile. So he had already set a record for manned rocket launch. And this is a homemade rocket. And wow. Something else too. He was a limousine driver making $15 an hour. He paid for all the parts in his garage. It's all documented. He built it off of his limousine driver's income. And this is in the documentary as well. So here's the thing too. It means that if this was a hoax, he's still the world's greatest daredevil. But now on top of it, he's the world's greatest hoaxster on top of being a great daredevil. And also he dodged possibly a life sentence or a lot.
So let me just, just take up Dave J's thread here. I mean, his assumption is that there was no one in that rocket when it got launched.
J thinks that I'm a Jewish woman.
Yeah, sure.
Dave J's not credible. He thinks dogs are cats. He's got his head somewhere. And
let's,
also,
let's just lay that aside now and just say, okay, there are magicians' tricks that are exactly the same as this.
Right.
David Blaine, right? David Blaine. Could this be a David Blaine thing? That's your.
What I'm suggesting is that I think it's more likely, especially on the story that you have told so far about how the launch came about, that the fellow was, you know, heightening the danger by talking about not having a parachute, and then by simply not being in the rocket. All sorts of great things have happened. He's died, so he doesn't have to face up to the consequences of this legal action that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very... I'm sorry, this is not my point. This is...
No, that would be genius, but look...
This is Dave J's point.
Let me answer Dave J. There's a logical flaw in this. If he was doing this... Let me answer this before you let him on. If he was going to fake his death and escape the charges and hoax everybody and stuff, he wouldn't have invited a public audience and TMZ and a host of other people with cell phone cams. He wouldn't have done it publicly. They would have just said, we had a rocket launch.
Sure, and
make it.
Yeah, I think it's sure, just part of
first
the
and foremost. First and foremost, sorry, guy.
No, go
first
ahead.
And foremost, there was nobody in any, there was nobody in any rocket. Tim Osmond, period. Nobody died and nobody got hurt. Don't tell me that this guy went up in a rocket and killed himself. You are a liar.
Did he go in the rocket in 2018?
All right.
Did he go in the rocket in 2018?
No, but no, of course, no, he did not. They're all hoaxes.
Okay, what about 2014? 2014. Was 2014 a hoax?
Nobody, no.
Dave, was 2014's rocket launcher?
All of them are hoaxes.
Was his limb?
When you said that he died, nobody died and nobody got hurt.
Dave. Was his 2002 limousine long-distance jump a hoax?
That was a hoax. You can actually see when they
What about his motorcycle racing?
It's ridiculous when you watch it.
What about his motorcycle racing?
That doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about.
It does, because you don't have evidence to call this stuff hoaxing. Are you accusing the Guinness Book of World Records and the live audience of misunderstanding what they were seeing when the limousine flew 103 feet, and the 2014 rocket launch is recorded.
What I'm accused, 103, you don't say 103, 103. That's 13 crown corona. The idea of a false
what?
Four.
What? Well, you bring look. Right? Gematria has been discredited.
So let's go ahead and let's move forward. We're going to get to what this call's about.
Am I an operative, David? Am I the operative?
Mike, you're acting like one.
Am I the operative, though? Because there's no way I couldn't be included in this, right? So are you...
At this moment, you're acting like one. At this moment, you're acting like one.
No, but look, my involvement with Mad Mike would
necessarily...
Dave, it would necessarily require that I was an insider and an operative for this to be a hoax. And so I'm saying here, are you comfortable with the notion
here? Are you admitting to that then right now? Absolutely, I'm comfortable with that. Very comfortable.
Well, let me say that I'm not comfortable with that. I don't, from what you've said so far, I don't see any reason why you could not be completely innocent in this.
Well, that's because, anyway.
No, actually,
he can repent right now. He can repent right now, which means change his mind.
Look, if it's a hoax, there's no scenario where I'm not. There's no scenario where I'm not involved.
And no, your involvement is different to your belief. Your involvement is different to your belief.
Don't be that stumbling block, Frank. Don't be a stumbling block.
No, he's right about this. Move because aside. I was the one who, with the business partner, helped bail him out.
Back to you. Back to you. Mad Mike Hughes did not die and did not get hurt, period. There was nobody in those rockets, period.
Now, how does it feel, how does it feel talking to somebody who has been, in your opinion, spearheading a psychological operation for 7 years in full view of the public? Like, how does that feel?
I feel like I'm talking to someone who should be ashamed of themselves. And you should look in the mirror and see the worst form of human trash is what you should be looking in the mirror and seeing.
Do you think I'm a con man?
You are a con man because your entire existence it exists only and for people's donations to you. And then what you do is
donations, Dave. Dave J. If I'm heading a 7 year psyop. If I'm heading this PSYOP with Mad Mike and I got TMZ covering it, I'm not living off of donations. They're obviously paying me, aren't they? Like,
did you say seven, bud?
Dave J. As a PSYOP operative,
donations are in time.
I wouldn't be living off donations. Can I ask you something? The Illuminati pays me.
Hey, Ab, can I ask you something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I need a point of order here. So then, you would consider someone's time and time that they spend with your product as a donation in kind, wouldn't you?
Time, talent, and treasure. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so then, what I'm saying to you, Tim Osmond, is your scam is that you get people's butts in the seat and you literally waste their time. You are quite literally a Pied Piper. The tone that's coming out of your mouth is, in fact, a lie.
But I'm an operative who helped fake Mike's death in front of the world, and I tricked everybody on an open set. It wasn't even a close set. You got to give me credit for being a great hoaxer.
Tim, you weren't even there, were you, on February 22nd, 2020? Which is
on that day of the launch, I wasn't there, but I had Russ there. I wasn't there physically for that final launch. I couldn't be there, but we had people there. I had Russ there do the final interview for me as part of IPR. I talked to Mike that night because he had been building he had put a ladder on the back of the rocket. Cause if you watch the documentary, they use scaffolding. He wanted to have like a staircase. So he goes up and nobody's in the back blast area, goes up himself. And by all indications, the rocket hit the new piece he added. And that's why it fishtailed at the beginning. That's why it malfunctioned.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did. No, it did.
Let me tell you why the ladder was added. As you know, or you should know, that all these Masonic hoaxes have an element of a ladder in
he wasn't a Mason. He wasn't a Mason. Wait. Hey, ecologist. Let me take a moment here. Okay, listen. Mad Mike was trying to restart. He was running for governor in California.
33.
He wanted to restart a third party. Do you know what the original third party in America was founded on? Dave J? Hello?
What is
going back to the ladder.
Dave, you don't know. You don't know.
We'll show you a ladder.
Dave J, what was the original third party? Dave J, what was it for?
It was the know nothing. It was the know nothing.
No. It was the anti-Masonic party.
Okay.
And Mike was trying to bring that back. Dave J, you don't know what you're talking about.
The ladder is used to show
you don't know what you're talking about. I'm a Mason. I can tell you about the ladder. Had nothing to do with Mike's rocket.
Well, that's interesting.
You just said that you're a Mason and that you can tell us about the ladder?
Yeah.
I just heard you say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a common symbol, but ladders are everywhere. But it wasn't even a ladder. It was a staircase thing that
he
built.
Let me tell you what it means.
It wasn't part of a Masonic thing.
Where was the ladder? I'm confused. I'm lost here. Where was
Dave J is lost. Dave J is lost, and this isn't even worth pursuing. He built this kind of scaffolding thing, and it's not even a ladder, and Dave's just, it's a Masonic thing. It's like Dave J doesn't know what he's talking about, as usual.
You said it was a ladder. You said he specifically replaced it with a ladder.
All right. Well, I use the word ladder. Look, it was a piece of metal that he put there so he could climb into the cockpit without needing scaffolding held by two other people.
You admitted to being a Mason. Well, you know, he just admitted to being a Mason.
Jay, obviously, if I perpetrated a hoax on this scale, I'm Illuminati. I'm higher than just a Mason. I've got to be an operative.
No, you're a low level. Oh, okay. Blue Lodge.
I can't be low level. I was just part of one of the biggest psyops.
You're very low level.
I'm the top.
You're low level. You're what? About 4'5".
But look, I need to interject.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't see any point in you guys calling each other's names or
Let's stop calling names
or baiting each other.
Frank, you go ahead and keep being that stumbling block. Anyways, if anybody wants to talk to
Masonic
idea, I will talk to them.
Okay.
If Ab, you want to go ahead and continue, I will leave.
Okay.
You everyone heard.
We heard. We got your message, Dave.
All I'm asking of you, Dave, is there's no reason to be unpleasant. There's no reason at all.
We accept that you disagree with Tim.
Can I tell you the reason?
Okay, last comment because we got other comments. Go ahead, Dave J.
Here's the reason. You do not walk into the room and false witness death, because if you do that, you are a spiritual murderer and a liar, and that makes you a demon. So stop it.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you, Dave. Be blessed. There goes Dave J. Okay, Dave J. bringing up some... Lynn, we haven't heard from you in a minute. What do you say to all this?
Well, it's pretty clear that Frank and I suspect that that Tim got played, that he got hoaxed.
I would be in on it. Lynn, how do you say that?
No, not that you're in on it, that you got played. But a more important question for me is, would you ever do something like this again? Or is it, in fact, a strategic... misstep? Is it, in other words,
wait, what do you mean played? He succeeded in the rocket launch that I paid for. He died on the Science Channel one. I don't know if you got that,
but you're
you got played by promoting the whole complex of things, you know.
It is complex.
We accomplished our mission. I put the research flat earth billboard up. We got his attention. We put it on his rocket. We blew it up for more attention.
And what's the net gain?
The net gain was blowing up the conversation so everyone in the media would have to talk about something they knew nothing about.
Have we discredited NASA effectively by doing this?
We've enlarged the pool of people who no longer
believe
NASA.
Yes.
Absolutely,
so,
we have. Absolutely,
it's an opportunistic. Well, it's an opportunistic play.
It was genius. It was a marketing move. And
I think I would have to say, Tim,
makes us look cheap. That may be
your view. My view is that this is a very big success for the,
discredit by association.
Yeah, discredit
EBA,
by
right?
Yeah, it is a big success for the discredit by association.
In my opinion, other people.
That's
may
right.
Have
that's what Jimmy Kimmel. Opinion. Hey, that's why Jimmy Kimmel got involved in the conference and everything, and that might be worth addressing because it's pretty clear that Flat Earth in general, whether it was actually generated as a psyop, which it may have been, to counter critics of NASA. But it's pretty clear by the time of that they were having these conventions that it was being manipulated. It was being taken in a certain direction.
Lynn, can you answer one thing for me, Lynn? This is the question I have to raise here, because you suggested I got played or duped, but the launch was going to be scrapped because he wasn't going to make it. And he would have lost the contract if it was understood that he had been he was in jail facing 19 charges. So I'm
that's the drama. That's the drama.
I can prove to you. I can actually prove to you. Let me bring this up here, because Mark Sargent is the one. Mark Sargent and others called the FBI on him for what he was doing with his common law claims on people's names. My point of it is the rocket launch wasn't going to happen. Because he was, and even the Waldo called me and said, Mike's going to probably die in jail. So my point of it is, let me finish. If he was an operative, why would he be in jail? And the only reason he made it on time was I put a lot into bailing him out. And so you're saying I got played. It's like, it didn't. It wouldn't have happened if I didn't do that, Lynn. So can you still make that claim that I was played, Lynn?
Isn't it the sovereign citizen?
No, can you still say that I wasn't a part of it, since I'm the one who took him to the location? It wouldn't have happened if I didn't bail him out. And if they're running a PSYOP, they would have bailed him out. Would they not have?
No, I think they sucked you in and they used you, of course. Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're going to run a PSYOP, but if Tim can't come up with $40,000, it's not going to happen?
Well, that may have you know, that may have been sort of an ancillary aspect. No, that doesn't make any sense.
You cannot say that it was a hoax without me being implicated.
I know this guy. This man.
I have no plausible deniability.
Well, I'll leave it to other people to make up their view about how you're implicated. You are implicated.
Science Channel? The Science Channel.
You're implicated, but it's a case of whether you were duped or you knowingly did it. That's all. And I make no. I've got no reason to say one way or another.
No. There is no place where I'm not a part of it. So.
Looks like we got another caller in. Or caller in, or where are you calling from? And what's your name?
This is Dookie Foot from Arkansas.
Dookie Foot, welcome. Have you heard of this story before? I'm pretty ignorant about this story. So what do you know?
Yeah, I've heard of it before. First thing I want to say, though, is Sam Osman keeps talking about the Science Channel and TMZ. Like, those even matter. Those are all that's all mainstream media. They're involved in fakery all the time.
Especially death faking.
TMZ is
the leading media outlet for death faking.
This was not a mainstream media event. It was self-produced on the first one. Nobody was there. The second one, he managed to get TMZ to show up at the last minute. They couldn't get live internet. They had to upload it right after. TMZ, their phone, they had a phone video that most of you saw. But no, this was actually, this whole thing was not a mainstream media event, but more like a lot of onlookers. It was an open set. It was an open movie set. There was no holes. There was no place where. No, it's not something you can disagree on. These are facts. You're entitled to your own opinions, but you're not entitled to your own facts.
The fact that TMZ couldn't get the shot live, that's just a convenient.
Do you know where this was filmed? Do you know where this was filmed?
That's a convenient.
This was filmed in the Mojave Desert. If you're not aware, there was no I was out there. I was out there multiple times. Like, I don't think you have a base of knowledge to say, "Oh, it was fake." You're a low information non-believer.
When I very first heard about it, I heard about it directly from the news. Directly from the news, they were talking about it. It was as mainstream as you can get. The fact that
that was the point. This was a PR stunt. Don't you understand? The whole point of this was to get on the news.
To me.
No. The whole point of this was to get on the news. We were trying to get an issue that wasn't getting mainstream attention on the news. That's why I did a billboard. Now, when I did the billboard, it went on CBS and ABC. That went on mainstream. We were using the news to draw attention to something that's fundamentally against the system, against establishment.
Once again, I can call you out on that, because by 2020, a very large section of the planet was exposed to flat Earth. A very large.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to Mad Mike's launch. Mad Mike launched in 2018. 2018 was his launch, the documentary.
5 years from YouTube.
Yes, but listen, Tim, by 2020, a very large amount of people were aware of flat Earth.
No doubt. And look, there were multiple documentaries. Mike was in a documentary. Mike was at the Flat Earth Conference. Like, no duh. We tried to get him to speak at the conference. They didn't want him on the stage. Instead, they were platforming sex offenders and other weirdos. But we managed to get Mike in against their will. And they were resentful of us for it, by the way.
That just sounds like more hype.
It's not hype. They literally did not want him in. I paid Mike to show up, and I said, Mike, look, if they don't let you put your rocket in the conference room, we're going to call the mainstream media and call these guys out as operatives. And when I went in there, the conference organizer, Cammie, grabbed me by the wrist, and I thought she was a sweet lady. I just followed her, and she took me to this cop, and they had their eyes on me the whole time, and they thought I was there to make trouble, that Mike was there to make trouble. No, they didn't want him there. Oh, you can find a video of Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole putting a video saying, don't listen to Mad Mike. These people did not like him. I don't know how much more clear I can make that.
What was this?
It doesn't matter who liked who. He's either legitimate or he's not.
He's legitimate in the sense that he was an outsider, and his intro to Flat Earth was Eric Dubé videos, and then he sees my billboard.
Yeah. AJ206 is saying that the caller knows nothing. Lynn knows nothing. Call in AJ206 and straighten us out if we don't know anything.
Call in. But here's the thing. Tim Osman is doing the same exact thing to me that he did to JFJ. He's not letting any words get through. That's fine with me. I'm calling it. As soon as I heard about Mad Mike, I instantly knew it was bullshit. Before he died, I knew it was a stunt. I knew it was going to be a fake stunt. The fact was that TMZ...
Wait, hold on. You said a fake stunt.
No, don't cut me off.
You can't say it's a, no, you can't say it's a fake stunt when you don't know about his 30 year of stunts. You don't know about his background. It does matter.
You can do whatever you want in life, but the one time that you fuck something up, that it doesn't, none of the other stuff matters. That's like, I could live a clean life for 30 years and then shoot my wife in the head.
Oh, no, don't do that. Goes. Don't do that. What I'm saying here is that he was established as a Daredevil. I'm comparing
your BS to some BS that I just invented.
No, this guy is an established Daredevil who couldn't get his last rocket project off the ground, and then he found flat earthers to pay for it. And I said, this is a good idea. A lot of people didn't think it was a good idea because they were afraid of what the media would say. They're like, oh, they're going to make us look bad. And I'm like, you guys already look bad. We already look bad to them. Okay. They hate us.
You're literally describing a scammer. That's how scammers operate.
It was a PR stunt, and we were scamming. We were scamming the mainstream media into – look, we were scamming the media into paying attention. This was a cult. Look, this was culture jamming is what it was. Like, that was the whole point. These people are taking a very mainstream view of it. Like, oh, they're going to make us look bad. It's like, you guys realize you already look bad. You can't look good to the dominant paradigm when you're trying to –
Okay, thank you, Dookie Foot. Sorry. Wow. Okay. Anyone that wants to call in, the phone number is at the bottom of the screen. 810-666-1984-902-400-1984.
By the way, I posted, and I can't find this now. I think I posted it yesterday in reply to some discussion, but a really long thread. Or maybe I have this in the blog, in the forum, that has a YouTube video. Let me put this in the
private chat
of Mark Sargent and Tim Osman and some others. Let me find it.
Let me ask you this, Lynn. If I was duped, then why aren't I trying to get a reimbursement on my $40,000 for a guy that got away with these charges?
Well, I don't know how you could do that. I don't know
exactly. I mean, how could I sit here after being scammed for $40,000 and say, no, this isn't a hoax? Like, why wouldn't I dig into it if it was a hoax, if I had lost that much money?
Well, that's about self-deception. And I don't know what the basis of your deep belief in the personal integrity of Mike Hughes was, because I was never that impressed. Same like the guy from Arkansas said, I was real skeptical about the whole thing. I said, what is this about? It looks like a cheap, attention-seeking, sensationalist stunt. Because if you were going to show that there was no curve, you'd send actually, this has been done now.
They weren't trying to show cameras. It was a stunt. He was trying to get famous.
But it has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with flat Earth. Nothing to do with flat Earth. Nothing to do with alternate cosmology. August Picard went up in a balloon 60,000 feet.
Only the lying media misrepresented it as an attempt to prove the Earth flat. Nobody with any intelligence thinks that he was trying to do that. That is pure misinformation. And in that New Yorker article, in the first paragraph, it says, Mike hates he resents the claim that he's trying to prove the Earth flat. That's for a future.
Actually, that kind of explains why many of the people associated with this flat Earth movement would have kind of justifiably been suspicious of his role in this. Because what does it have to do with flat Earth anyway? It's really got nothing to do with it if you think about it.
He was doing it to do a world record manned rocket launch.
I'll tell you where it might have been meaningful. It might have been meaningful if he'd have said, I'm an alternative to NASA. But then again, Elon Musk has already done that, right? So that's not exactly like that would be original. But to me, it's a wash. And I'm more concerned about, like, let me ask you this. If another Mike Hughes came along tomorrow, would you do the same thing in the same way?
This was never an attempt to prove the Earth flat.
I didn't say that. It should be an attempt to propagandize our point of view.
That's what it did. That's what it was for. Factually speaking, it did. Mike got onto Wired Magazine and he called Elon Musk a whore. Elon Musk was sending blimps to space and faking. He was sending blimps. He said rockets were blimps and space was fake. Mad Mike was doing nothing but damage. He was dropping bombs. He was calling out the fake space agencies left and right. So I don't know how this was a loss. This was actually what we did.
Because he's died now. And so all he's done is show that NASA, the professional space guys, and they really know what they're doing. And
lunatics
that drive limousines and
leave it to the pros. Yeah, leave it to the experts.
We got Derek on the line. Derek, I think I heard you talk to Brian Stabley 4 years ago on this topic. I did not know that this happened with Brian Stabley as well.
Yeah, I remember vaguely talking about him. But I just want to ask Tim, on the biggest day of your event, you spent so much money. Why weren't you there? Wouldn't you want to get the notoriety? Why weren't you there? That's all I have to ask.
I couldn't afford it. And I had Russ with Flat Earth Radio, who lived out in California, go out there for me. And then I went out there in August. Look, I spent a lot of money. I was out there in August for a couple of weeks and it didn't launch because they heated up. It doesn't reach the right temperature. They can't go. So they didn't successfully launch when I was there. And I spent money. We had a friend come from Australia, spent a lot of money, time and energy. So we invested a lot and we didn't get the shot because it didn't go. But then his subsequent launch when we weren't there went up. And so I just couldn't afford it because every time it was like, it was a gamble. It was like, is he going to launch today? And we wouldn't know. We'd be sitting there all day in the sun. And it's like, we're still waiting. The temperature may not be there. So no, it was, if you watch the documentary, you'll see steam powered rockets aren't so easy as you just light a fuse and it goes up.
Yeah, I watched all those documentaries. This thing years ago, but now I forget. But I just looked at the rocket. It's like he needs guys to place him inside there, like, because it's so crammed up. Like, how, if something goes wrong, what's the parachute for? How's he going to get out?
Well, that's kind of the thing. It's exceedingly dangerous. And his whole thing was he had to pull the parachute himself, and they had a microphone. So if you watch the first one, he's talking to people on the ground, and he's not going to pull the parachute. Look, he told me he can't tell if he's going up or down. He said it's disorienting and that he needs someone to tell him when to pull the chute.
Yeah, what's the point of the parachute when he's strapped in there? He can't move. There's no room in that thing.
Oh, the parachute's on the rocket. The parachute's on the rocket itself. There's no way to eject.
I get that. So what's he doing in there? He can't move. Like I said, what's he going to take, videos? What was the... Listen, I don't want to bust your chops. It is what it is.
He was beating Evel Knievel's Snake River jump. So Evel Knievel did this thing with a steam-powered rocket. He went over Snake River. He almost died, and Mike wanted to beat him in height. And so he had cameras in the rocket. They had drone cameras. They had cameras on the ground. Even this one, Science Channel had – there's video of this thing from start to finish.
Jack is saying, if the mainstream media was there, why is the video so lousy?
Yeah. All right.
That's a good question. What do you think, Tim?
Look, Mike was trying to get media there. That's the whole thing. We were spending a lot of money on press releases, and in
Thanks
one of the
for
press
calling in Derek, by the way.
Yeah, we were devoting a lot of money, putting money in press releases to get attention, to basically try to get the media to show up and cover it to get more coverage, because this is a PR stunt. That's what daredevils do. He wants to be known around the world. He wants as many people to see it as possible, and it was difficult to get people there. We got a writer from Wired. We had some other journalists there, and TMZ, we managed to get some guy to show up with his phone, but no, it wasn't a media event. It wasn't. And the Science Channel was there for Homemade Astronauts, which is about three different individuals trying different ways to go to space. Mike was one of them. So it wasn't a flat Earth rocket jump. So like, oh, this makes flat Earth look bad. No, science killed him, not flat Earth, if you want to play that game. But the fact of it is, it was a success from the time that I was involved until the Rocket Man documentary and 2 years later, and then he was going to move on to the space jump. And the whole point of it is you can't get the money you need to spend that much on helium for the Raccoon unless you had like a lot of people and sponsors. And to get, like, he got sponsorships. He had some dating app put money into it. He had a few other things, but he was trying to get big sponsorships. So we wanted media there, and we couldn't get them there. This was not a media event.
It's a good thing he did it a couple of weeks before the COVID scam launched, because he would have got zero coverage after that. He literally did it on the Magic 222. Of course, we're always suspicious of numbers. Ulf Anderson put a huge gematria statement in there. It says, a coincidence theorist? Come on, Tim. Come on. So.
Well, the thing is, look, I have to say, though, I don't have plausible deniability. It's very kind of Lynn to suggest I was duped, but if this was a hoax, I am part of it.
I know, but you seem to be trying really hard to get yourself guilty of this whole situation. But
I am, though. I would have to be necessarily so for this to be logical.
But none of us are really convinced of that. I know your argument. We heard it, but I'm not really convinced. Frank isn't. Lynn, I think we're all really clear.
Okay, well then why am I not mad about losing 40K? Why am I not?
How do we know if you really lost 40K?
I can show you. I can show you the receipts from the bail
bondsman. We don't know if you were reimbursed. We don't know where we can just take your word for that too.
No. I have I can back it. I can even show you other stuff. I can back this stuff. I can even show you scraps of the rocket.
Tim,
I can get
your
DNA.
I've got no reason to doubt that you actually did all these things. I've got no reason of any the reasons why you're not angry, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's your personality. It's your
it wasn't a tragic
Christian
death.
Nature. It's your.
It wasn't a tragic death. It wasn't a tragic death in the sense of like a skydiver or something. Because this was a person who was basically putting his life on the line. It was all about the possibility of death. And he
utterly meaningless.
To you. There are people who inject stuff in their bodies to do competitive bodybuilding or sports that enlarge their hearts. People take risks. Maybe it's meaningless to you, but not to them. And the daredevils are a special class of people. I met him and a couple of his friends. What I'm saying is, like, this is a different group of people who are breaking records, and they know they're taking risks. He was a daredevil in the strictest sense, and he didn't think the other guys were real daredevils if they had backup shoots. So yeah. this was a gamble.
Dingo
WWE wrestlers take risks.
Dingo Baby says nobody doubts the story that was reported, but the question is whether they believe the story. You can't debunk that disbelief by ... Okay, interesting.
Let me address that one, because this is the main reason I want to have this conversation is that there's this breakdown I have between the auto believers and the auto hoaxers. Automatically believe the news, and then automatically
right. And whoever doesn't believe what you believe.
No. Let me complete this.
And you are an auto hoaxer, right?
I am. But here's the thing. Skepticism is not being prejudiced against everything and just calling it fake. It's suspending judgment till you get the best available facts. I've been spouting facts that most people here didn't know about, so you didn't have a full picture. My point being, there's a difference between what I am, an informed non-believer when it comes to the news events, and low information non-believer.
You're not so well informed about vaccines. You're not so
no,
well.
No, wait. Let's not change the subject.
About geoengineering, either.
Let's not change the subject, because low information.
You're not the most well-informed person in the universe.
Low information non-belief is different qualitatively than informed disbelief. I know why something's fake if I call it fake. Somebody says, I think koalas are fake. Why? Your feelings? They don't have any facts to back it up. So what I'm saying here is that someone's disbelief in the story is coming from a place of low information unless they've been apprised of what's
available. I followed every detail of that Mike Houston because I resented him.
You didn't know he was in jail.
I resented him taking your time, your resources, your devotion, your attention. He must have really worked you. That's
what
I think
happened.
What do you
mean? I paid him to put our meme on his rocket explicitly to blow up the meme, and it succeeded in every way we wanted it to.
Blow up what meme? Flat
Research
Earth?
Flat Earth. Exactly. Flat Earth. Research right. Flat
Tim,
Earth.
Not research alternate cosmology.
No.
Not
research
NASA hoaxes. Research flat Earth.
Yes.
And I say anybody driving by the highway who saw that would say, oh, yeah, I'm going to research Bigfoot. I'm going to research places on the moon. That's how they would think about it. They'd think about
easily
it.
The most effective billboard campaign of the year. And we got behind. We did that. It was a success.
Tim, what do you think of this comment by Angle of Elevation? It's hard to remove confirmation bias when you're personally involved. When why they had so many... So, for example, so many people made screws for the moon landing so that they would feel personally involved.
Yeah, I understand that. Like when somebody says, the PSYOP happened near me, therefore it's real. Or I know somebody who claims they were injured by this, therefore it's real. I'm not making that kind of argument at all. I'm saying that you don't have enough information to dismiss the claim that he died based on that one video clip when there's a whole.
And you weren't there. You weren't there yourself that day either. So you're relying on who's?
Yeah. No. You don't know the set. Can you, Lynn? Can you describe the set where it happened? Who was there?
Well, I don't know everybody that was there. I watched the video, like everybody else. No, but no, you, that's, since that's, you no. weren't there, I'm asking you.
No, what I'm saying, Lynn,
I'm
is that
it was you who was you not, relied on, who you relied on
I
to see
to,
that there was
I
truly
talked,
a death.
I talked to the instant it happened, and I heard about the parachute. I called the rocket scientist, the one who built the rocket with Mike, and he said, "Mike died a daredevil's death," and
yeah,
this
we
was
can
corroborated.
Trust them, sure, we can believe well, them. I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, look, you don't have anything to refute what I'm saying. You don't have enough information about the movie set that we're calling it. It's a stage set. You have the Science Channel there. It's a movie set, but it wasn't closed. There was public there, and you can't run a PSYOP in front of the public. And the rocket was there, fully exposed. There's nowhere for him to disappear to. Nowhere.
Well, I'm going to say straight out, Tim. Magical tricks have been done like this for a long, long time.
Oh, this is the prestige for sure.
Yeah, no, I don't see any reason for us to know that anyone was in that rocket. As you know, for all my complaining about Dave J getting angry, the point.
Well, then, okay, if we're going with this, clear. Then let's follow this through. Then, if you're suggesting that this was a trick, then why was the 2018 one allowed to proceed?
Who knows that that was real?
We don't know
who knows
that
that,
that
wasn't fake?
We don't know anything about it.
Yeah, the 2018 launch, you don't know anything about it? It was that one is very well documented.
Oh, you know it was real. You know it was real.
But it could, is there reason, it was there reason it to was, suspect but, anyone would have gone into those rockets?
None of you have any
how
information.
How do you know the Falcon? How do you know the Elon Musk launches aren't
Lynn,
real?
You don't have any information to debunk the 2018 launch at all.
You mean I wasn't close enough to it?
No, no, you don't have enough information about it to
no,
say
no,
it
no,
was
but,
fake.
But Tim, what you're saying is you're relying on our believing that the first launch was real to accept the second launch was real. I've got no reason to think there was anyone on either rocket, especially when he's taken so few precautions. Mm-hmm.
Well,
that doesn't
the reason I do, though, the reason I do is that the rocket, again, the launch would not have happened if it wasn't for me bailing him
that's
out.
What you think that's no, what you think they've
how,
got you thinking
Lynn,
that
how could he
they've
have gotten
got you
out of
thinking
jail?
That, yeah
Lynn, how could he have
they've got
out of
you
jail?
Thinking you're the guy that made this possible
no wait
you're
that
so
was
emotionally this, committed to it
no this was
you invested
public.
A lot Lynn, in it I understand
I'm
I
not
do.
The emotional one here Lynn and that
yeah you,
one,
you invested a lot in this you invested
no,
a lot of money you invested time
no, Lynn,
and I could
channel.
Tell you really believed in this guy, and I never trusted him.
No, I believed
go.
In the project, but this rocket launch wouldn't have happened if I didn't bail him out, and it wasn't public knowledge that he needed bailing out. So if this was an operation, why would they, like, you wouldn't have David Hogg in jail the night before because he got pulled over for drunk driving, and then Parkland happens, and he's not there. You understand?
They might have had a backup plan, but
yeah,
anyway,
sure. You know.
Anyway, lots of comments in the... in the chat tonight. Thanks everyone for chatting. If anyone wants to,
I have to say, if nothing else, I have enjoyed it. It's been a very, for me personally, very stimulating to think about it, and because it wasn't something I was taking any interest in, but I have really picked up the point of how flat Earth has been used to discredit things in a very powerful way. That's the thing that stood out to me from this discussion. So I thank everyone who's contributed and all the people
yeah.
have commented.
It's been on fire tonight. Tim,
I think it's been excellent. Yeah.
Tim, you always bring your audience. I like your audience. I have to say I'm ignorant mostly of the situation. I know it's an old one. I only brought this up because you posted that it's got a fresh reference to misinformation in the New Yorker. And I put a note to that in my show notes tonight, even though the New Yorker is behind a paywall. I did find a archive copy. So I put that in. That was the main reason I brought it up, because anytime the mainstream media reports on something, as I think you've said a million times, and I listened to most of your stuff, that it's very suspicious.
It is. Yes. This is 4 years old. Why did they bring out this story after 4 years? And interestingly, that New Yorker piece that just came out quotes from the biography that I did. I did a biography on him. They didn't credit me, but they're obviously digging. And I'm like, 4 years later, this doesn't make any sense. Why are they bringing it up? And what they did is they bring this up to suggest that misinformation is dangerous, that Mike may not have believed it. Maybe he did, but he certainly used misinformation to get into his rocket. But even then, they say this last one was from the Science Channel. Even they get it right. But yeah, they brought it out because we handed them a weapon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Tim, can I propose a closing song?
Yeah, well, we had one. We had the opening song was pretty
good.
Well,
the closing one should be, let's do it like they do it on the Discovery Channel.
What's that? Is that a song?
Yeah.
It's called Let's Do It Like They Do It on
the... Oh, that's the lyric. I better find out the name of the song.
I don't know about that one. I was playing Mad World in honor of Mad Mike because it's a...
Oh, we have a song by Chief Crow called Bad Mike. And hey, let me answer for Napoleon Wilson. I'm not a Mason anymore. You know, I stopped paying dues a long time ago.
Okay. What is the dues, by the way? Is it 33 a month or...?
It depends on the lodge and where you are. It was basically you pay for your initiations and then you pay for your meal that you have on those days.
Yeah. You know, no one is here. We're not trying to sting Tim. This wasn't the purpose of the show. It was really just to try and figure it out. And I didn't really even consider the idea that Lynn brought up that, or Frank brought up that maybe Tim was duped by the whole situation. And this wasn't a witch hunt. I was just trying to point out consistencies in the way of looking at things, especially when you're an auto hoaxer. I mean,
for me, this was all about making the point that skepticism isn't about being prejudiced against what's being claimed, but rather suspending judgment. So we're not prejudging, we're suspending judgment. And I suspended judgment with everything until I get more facts, and the facts usually lead to a hoax. In this case, I can provide endless facts, and if somebody wanted to bet money on it, I'd take the extra effort. I would get you irrefutable DNA proof. I mean, this is not hard. I would get whatever. My point of it is the burden of proof has been established from my perspective.
From my point of view, I think Mad Max is playing the role of Joe Biden.
I don't know.
Somebody said he was John Bon Jovi. And he had that hair, but
yeah. By the way, I didn't like Opie and Anthony, Mr. Trustworthy. So I never. I was a Stern fan. Opie and Anthony would have been a very pale, distant third or fourth compared to Stern. So sorry about that. I'm more of a moderator anyway. Even though I didn't do much moderating tonight, but I really appreciate all the participants. Does anyone want to make any closing statements tonight before we play out?
Well, I just can't believe that you weren't even at the scene, but you're convinced that he really died. I can't wrap my head around that. I don't know how.
Well, Lynn, you don't know anybody who died from the pokey personally, and yet you're convinced a billion people died of it.
What's that? I'm not convinced of anything. Not really.
No, I understand where everyone's coming from, and I respect your positions, and thank you for coming here with it all. And to me, you know, I'm not trying to tell people what to believe. I'm just making the point that we have to know why we believe what we believe and why we don't believe what we don't believe. And not all disbelief is equal. You have low-info disbelief and high-info disbelief. Anyway, I appreciate everyone's time here.
Tim, before you go, I'm going to comment on the pokey comment.
And we need a movie list of what we should educate ourselves with.
Yeah. But regard your pokey comment, just, you know, relying on if we rely on the statistics provided by the Victorian government, there's a very clear signal that the pokey increased the registered deaths.
Well, if we rely on mainstream media reportage, then there's a clear signal.
I'm not relying on that. I'm just relying on the official register of deaths.
The registry,
the Victorian government. If you want me to, I'm happy to send you that link and you can see those statistics for yourself.
Cool. I appreciate it. Thank you for the chat, and thank you, Fakeologists, for having me on. And yeah, this only came up because the New Yorker made it a story again, and that's very suspect.
We should.
There's obviously something about to happen in the financial world then, is all I can say.
We should recommend Tim's video, which I think is probably the best documentary ever done on a movement, to dissect it and deconstruct it. And that's Behind the Perv. And I put a link to it in the forum. It really is an excellent documentary.
Where is that found? Where can we?
PsyOps. Should be under PsyOps, I think. Let's see.
Okay. But where is the movie hosted, Tim Osmond? Where do you...
Well, there's a YouTube version
Just search behind the perv and you can find out about the people who wanted pervs on their side and not the Rocket Man.
Okay.
But even then, you weren't entirely aware of that because you were originally collaborating with Mark Sargent and some of them. I got an old YouTube video of you with Mark Sargent and some of the other of that clique. So I think it took a while for you to figure out that they were, agents.
No, we assumed so. In fact, we joined them with the assumption that we were trying to co-opt the controlled opposition. We called ourselves uncontrolled opposition. That's why I used Mark Sargent's name at that city council thing. We wanted to co-opt the controlled opposition and throw it into other areas. We didn't want them to get all the traffic.
Have you ever had a show with Mark Sargent?
Oh yeah,
we have. We've chatted a few times, and he got really mad because Mad Mike was filing legal claims on Mark Sargent, saying it wasn't his real name. He was an actor, so Mike had basically made these common law legal claims against Mark Sargent, Patty Steer, and Rick Hummer, a few others, and they called the FBI, claiming extortion. And so the FBI arrested Mike. That's why he was being charged with 19 counts of extortion. And so the people who are part of the mainstream Flat Earth they were happy about the fact that they got him jailed, and they were surprised they got him out. But then they were happy when he crashed.
But isn't it amazing how this just really is such drama and distraction?
Ties everything in.
And it just takes everything away from what we're trying to talk about. We're right off topic when there's so much drama. Do you think it's all deliberate just to get people completely off topic? Anybody?
Yeah, I do. I think it's entirely about that. Everything is about divide and conquer in the current world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've always proposed...
Jabs, no jobs. Flat, not flat.
Right. Flat Earth, I hate the phrase. I hate
sovereign
the phrase.
Citizens and, you know, craziness.
Alternative cosmology.
Going to the moon. Germ theory.
Tim Osmond, do you think Bob Nodal faked his death, the Globebuster?
Well, let me bring this up because it comes down to extraordinary claims. Mm-hmm. A man of his age with a sickness like that is not extraordinary. Okay. A daredevil dies. That's not even an extraordinary claim. Oh. So I don't even think that this qualifies as a, quote, auto-hoaxing event. Okay. When I say fake until proven real, it's actually fake until proven real if it's an extraordinary event and it's unbelievable. It's out of the blue. And no, everybody thought he was going to die. NASA was watching. See, he had some people from JPL he met at the Adventures Club in LA, and they told him, yeah, NASA's taking bets. They've been watching all of your launches, and they take bets on whether you're going to die. So just to give you a little more insight there and how this thing, how he was not part of their thing.
Ted Stryker says, this is the best comment of the day, I think. Looks like I picked the wrong day to quit drinking. I can't handle much more of this. So I guess we should end it for Ted Stryker. Well, thank you very much, Tim Osmond, for joining. This was really instructional, and I hope we can maybe do more of this one day. If anyone's interested, if anyone wants to further investigate it, I'm not sure... Frank or I am going to further investigate it, but I guess could.
If anybody wants to investigate, I will point you to jail records, to morgue records, to people involved, witnesses, Science Channel contacts. I'll give you audio possibly of the biography, the conversations we had. I will provide a full backdrop to say that you can't just say this person was a character made up to make flat earthers look bad. So anyway, thanks again.
All right. Thank you, Tim Osmond.
And thank you.
Frank, this was
Tim Eberardo.
This was a different Thursday show.
Yeah, it was pretty good fun. I enjoyed it.
And Lynn Artel, thank you for your knowledge on this. Thank you for coming back for a second day of the week. Lynn Artel is normally on Tuesdays. If you enjoy Lynn Artel, she does most of the talking on her show on Tuesdays. And she is a wealth of knowledge and extremely passionate. If only people my age or younger could be as passionate as Lynn. And I personally enjoy the passion, Lynn. So keep it up as long as you can. You still there, Lynn?
Yeah. What I want to do is post that link.
Oh, I put it. Yeah.
To the YouTube video where Mark Sargent and Tim Osmond appear together.
I would like that.
And talk because the thing is, he was involved in
collaboration now
Well, I posted it, but I can't find it.
Okay, well, you can email it to me and I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I got to find it again. But the idea being that I'm pretty sure that initially he was involved in a sort of active collaboration with this Flat Earth movement. And then over time, obviously, he discovered that it was compromised. But I think there's a lot to be learned from that.
Okay. Frank,
I think that's important.
Frank, what is this music video about? What is the line you wanted us to take out of it?
It's all about the Discovery Channel. You know, everything...
I like that world better. This is creeping me out. They're eating bugs or something. What the hell is going on, Frank? What are you leading me on to here?
Well, when I'm hearing about Mad Mike and the what was the channel that was doing his recording his thing?
Oh, it's the science something. Science. Yeah,
it's all the Discovery Channel's the the science promoter, isn't it? It's the
right the fake science channel. Okay.
Yeah.
I got it. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining. I hope you guys are entertained. And this is the end of the week. And we do a show Sunday through Thursday, usually around 8 o'clock. So all you IPS fans, most of our guys are IPS fans. So if you guys want to join us and talk some more truth or whatever else we talk about, you're welcome to join in. And we are value for value. Yeah, go for it.
Also, thanks to all the commenters. The terrific comments tonight. Really
good. Well, the IPS community is huge, and they always bring good comments. So I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys. And value for value, you pay whatever you think the show is worth. You should support independent media. Everybody should, including Tim Osmond's IPS. He has a Patreon. He has a donation channel as well. So everyone should support independent media. If you like this stuff, or if you just like mainstream media, you should keep supporting their advertisers. But I like our model where you pay what you think the show is worth. So thanks, everyone, for joining in. This was fun. And thanks to everyone for bringing it. Great, great, great chat. Anyway, take care, everybody.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And I feel the way that every child should sit and listen, sit and listen. Went to school and I was very nervous. No one knew me, no one knew me. Hello, teacher, tell me what's my lesson. Look right through me, look right through me. I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad world. Enlarge in your world.